Amen. Amen. I want to thank the musicians and our praise team. Amen. They don't realize they bless my soul this morning. Amen. I am truly, truly thankful. Something down in me is telling me to go ahead. Amen. Amen. They definitely blessed my soul this morning. Amen. You can say they lit a fire. Amen. Amen. Thank our praise team. Amen. Amen. For them being obedient and faithful. Amen. And our women. Amen. I wasn't at the conference, but I heard that it was wonderful. Amen. I thank God for your faithfulness. Amen. Being obedient to the word of God. Let us stand for the reading of God's word this morning. I'm trying to get in my preacher's voice. Amen. I was over there doing a little singing, but I was need to get in my preacher's voice. Amen. Y'all pray for our organist. Loves to play. Amen. I'm going to be coming from different scriptures and chapters this morning, so just bear with me. I want to do God's will this morning. I want to preach His word. Amen. I want you to be blessed on this morning. So just bear with me. I don't get as much time as the associate ministers get. But I do get a little time. Amen. So I just say, just hold on. I pray the day that we get seat belts for the seats. Some of y'all need to be strapped in. And when you get up, we'll know it. And you still be stuck to the seat. St. John, the 11th chapter. Beginning at the 21st verse. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read some more later, but just want to give you an understanding what God has given me on this morning. We need to expect God to do the unexpected. Amen. Many of us, we get in our routines, and when something alters that routine, it kind of throws you off. I remember on yesterday, Brother Bob was teaching the men's ministry, and as he was up speaking, he said, when the guys come in, they're going to throw me off because he got this routine that he has. And see, we get thrown off of our routine, but you got to expect the unexpected. Sometimes I could have my notes here and I can get off track because the Spirit leads me in a different direction and gives me a point. Sometimes you just say, don't rely on the notes, but rely on the Spirit of God to give you the words that you need to say. I remember when I was just getting into a relationship with my wife drilled me. And well, it wasn't my wife at the time. It was someone who I was admiring to be with. She drilled me so much to the Holy Spirit said, okay, I got to take over now because you don't know what to say to her. And I didn't. I had an out-of-body experience, and I still say that. Sometimes my wife will ask you a question, but there's a question inside of the question that she's asking you. One of the questions was, and I don't mind sharing it because it was a question. She said, do you play games? I said, no, I do not play video games, but no, I do not play games either. Y'all didn't get that question, did you? The question was, did you play video? No. But the other question is, do you play games? And the answer to that one question was no and no. Amen. Spirit had to talk for me because I didn't know how to talk to her. She said some of the things that I said to her was definitely what she prayed for. And I'm going to tell you, that was the Lord speaking through me to her. But expect, to look forward to anticipate, to look forward to the occurrence of. That's what expect is. Unexpected, that which is not expected. When you are in your routine, sometimes things can happen unexpectedly. What do you expect to happen when you come into God's house? When was the last time you expected, when you came into God's house and you expected something to happen? And man, or did you just come to just sit for a couple of hours and then get up and go home? Let me break it to you this way. You expect teachers to teach. You expect singers to sing. You expect preachers to preach. But when was the last time you came expecting God to do something? You can call me crazy all you want to, but I'm expecting God to bless somebody this morning. Why not? You should expect it because he's in the blessing business. That's what he do. Mary and Martha knew that Jesus could heal their brother. That's why they sent for him, because they knew that the Lord can heal him. She knew that whatever she asked in his name, he can do it. Amen. When I call my uncle, when I need something, I know that he can do it. That's why I called him. I didn't call somebody that I know can't get the job done. I called him and I say, Uncle, I need this. I've got this going on. And he said, I can do that. You call somebody that can get it done. So they knew that Jesus could do it. Martha knew that Jesus could heal Lazarus, and she expected it. That's why she sent for Jesus to heal, but she never expected the unexpected. And what was the unexpected? That Jesus would raise him from the dead on the spot. Martha was expecting it to occur at the last day, but Jesus was ready to do the unexpected right there. But Mary and Martha did not expect Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead. They were expecting Jesus to heal him before he got to that situation. But God gave them the, what I call, the combo package. Not only did he heal him, but he also raised him from the dead. See, if I ask any of you here right now, are you healed? Many of you say, well, I'll find out next week when I go to the doctor and get my report. But what is your faith is saying now? Do you believe that you healed? Even though you got the symptoms. But do your faith say, I'm healed? Despite what I may feel, I believe that I'm healed. Regardless of what I feel, regardless of what I see, I believe God's word and I am healed. Do you believe that? when life fails to meet your expectation, you should expect God to do the unexpected. We become discouraged when people and God don't meet our expectations. We believe that we live in a cause and effect world. We believe things are supposed to turn out a certain way. From the day we are placed on a path that we are supposed to follow, our parents, teachers give us an expectation they have for us, and we set out to discover what this treasure map has in store for us, because it is what we call a path that is set for us. You know that when you get to a certain age, you start going to school, and if you're in a certain district, if you're in this district, you know that once you leave this elementary school or whatever, you go to this middle school, and you go from this middle school to the junior high, to a high school. So in other words, that is set out for you. You know, you go from kindergarten to first grade to second grade to third grade to fourth grade. You know that path is set out for you. So we know this. The Bible record is full with instances of unexpected blessings. Folks following their normal routine, doing what they usually do, when all of a sudden the Lord steps in and blesses in ways that they could not have even imagined. The one thing that came, the several people that came to my mind in the Bible was Abraham and Sarah having a child. Joseph getting summons from the prison by Pharaoh. Moses getting swooped up out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter. Hannah receiving her child. David getting a call to come to appear before Samuel. Elijah being chosen by Elijah. The widow having her food store resupplied, the disciples being chosen by Jesus one day, the widow who got her deceased son back, unexpected blessings. All of these stories show us a God who is more than willing to surprise us with unexpected blessings. How many of you have ever went out about someplace and you found some money? I found $10. I'm sitting there going like, I was not expecting this. And then somebody can say, well, somebody lost that $10, Pastor. You should have been looking. No, I didn't see them. All I saw was the $10 bill that was a blessing for me. It came towards me. I wasn't going to look for nobody. That was my blessing. So you can say what you want to say, but that was my blessing. Obviously, the person didn't know how to handle it because it jumped out the pocket. My blessing. It came to me. I saw it, I picked it up, and I spent it. God is more than willing to surprise us. I think he prefers it that way. You know, he prefers. I surprise my wife. Yeah, I give her a little surprises here and there. You know, laying on the couch, sleep. I come in the house, set a little surprise on the counter. Didn't say nothing to her. Went on by my little routine and, you know, in the house. And she telling me to come here. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to get in my study mode. He's like, come here. Get on over there, you know, and then, you know, Jeremiah and Sabrina, you know, they just busy and nosy. My point is that I had a surprise sitting for her. Didn't tell her what it was, and then finally when she got up and she walked and she saw it, she said, ooh, is this for me? Hint, if it was for me, it would have been gone by now. Just saying. But I believe God likes to surprise us. I believe he's full of surprises. He likes to, you know, You know how it be hot sometimes, and then all of a sudden you get that breeze that come. You're like, ooh, thank you, Lord. I sure could have used that. It's like God's surprise. You're just blowing on you. The reason why I think he likes surprises is so we won't mess up. Y'all know we good at that. You put something in the hand, you mess it up, be real quick. Because we don't know what we're doing, and then we try. And some folks, they don't read no instructions. They just keep working on it until they figure out that, oh, well, this is awkward. Well, yeah, it's awkward because you didn't look at the instructions. If you look at the instructions, it won't be awkward. Or better yet, does that look like the picture? No. Awkward. But I believe God does this to keep us from messing up. Y'all know we'll mess up something real quick. That's why the Lord had to come and say, oh, I'll take over. And when I was trying to, you know, get my wife to, get in a relationship with me, Lord said, I'm going to take over because he going to mess up. I didn't tell you that right now. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't have no game. I don't, whatever you call it, I don't have no line. The Lord said, oh, I know, Sonya, I'm going to have to talk for you. So the Lord spoke to me. And he walked through me to speak to her. And she thought I was the mat. But she didn't realize that I wasn't the only person that was on the call. Living in expectations. Acts 2, 1 and 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit. Living in expectation. Watch this. It is 50-something days after Jesus' crucifixion. 50 days since he rose from the dead. And 10 days since Jesus' ascension. During those 10 days, the 11 disciples gathered together with about 100 and some other believers in Jerusalem to await the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. These believers were gathered together in a single room waiting for an event that has never been seen before on earth. The important thing is this. The day they all had been waiting for came. And when it came, they were ready for it. They were all there together in one place doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do, and that was wait for the Spirit. The times and seasons that God has designed for the world and even for our own personal lives are in his hands. The prophecy of old talked about the outpouring of the Spirit in terms of the end of the world. It would be like us gathering together in a single room for 10 days waiting for Jesus' second coming. Yet they were hiding out in a town that had just killed their leader, waiting for God to fulfill his promise. Y'all know it's hard to wait. All they had was the word. That's all they had. Imagine that. All they had was the Lord's word that says, wait. Wait. Many of us won't even do that. We won't do that. We'll be like, hey, I'm tired here. Y'all crazy. We ain't waiting on this too much. This too much playing. We'll be ready to go. Nobody's going to sit there and wait that long. For 10 days, they prayed. For 10 days, they waited. Sometimes praying all night. They waited. Then out of nowhere, some began to laugh. slowly at first. Then people start bolstering, gaining in volume and intensity. A presence that they've never felt before descended upon them. Strange, but yet so familiar. A love and a peace so amazing, so pure, so holy, so imminent that they can't stop but sing in praise for the King of Kings. Just all of a sudden, that's why sometimes you see people just all of a sudden just break out in a hallelujah. Break out in a thank you, Jesus. Thank God in a glory to God. Because the Spirit just unexpectedly swoop up and just grab you. And you can't help but holler. Y'all ever had somebody to grab you? Didn't you holler? But wait, when the Spirit grabs you, you ain't gonna have a choice but to holler. Most people never take advantage of God's abundant resources. We never tap into the tremendous resources that God has made available to us. The law of expectation says that basically we get what we expect out of life. We tend to see what we expect to see. We tend to feel what we expect to feel. We tend to act the way we expect to act. And eventually we tend to achieve what we expect to achieve. Your expectation influences your happiness. They influence your health. Your expectation influences your relationship. When you expect the best, you're honoring God. It also increases your ability when you're expecting the best. Athletes know that the winning edge is attitude, not ability. It's how you see it. I'm going to preach a message on that one day. It's how you see it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You can be an underdog team going up against a mighty team. But man, it's how you see it. I was at a game yesterday, and when I was watching the game, the first play from scrimmage against the number one team in the state of Illinois, Belleville East, was playing. The first play from scrimmage from East St. Louis, they threw an interception. That team had the number one team already on the ropes, getting ready to score. What did they do? They go down there to the two-yard line and they fumble. Then they get another turnover. This is a team that's in last place in the conference, not even ranked. Then they get a fumble recovery from the number one team. They have a chance to really shove it down their throat, to really give it to them. Guess what they do again? They turn it over. Coach didn't teach attitude. Edge. Just because of the number one team don't mean you can't defeat them. David saw Goliath. What did he do? He was an underdog. Expectation. Do you know that Muhammad Ali only lost two fights in his life? That's what I heard. Only lost two fights. And both of these fights had one thing in common, different from all the other fights. In a press conference prior to the fight, he said, "Now, if I lose this fight," it is the only time he had ever said it, and he lost them both times. You speak it out of your mouth. That's why I said, how do you feel? I'm healed. Regardless of what the symptoms may say, I don't care if my back is hurting me, I'm healed. You got to fight it. You got to believe it. David went up against Goliath. He took stones with him. Confidence. Everybody else was saying, he's too big. We can't kill him. David said, he's too big. I can't miss him. Attitude. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about it? Expecting the best. Not only that, expecting the best encourages others.
So in other words, when you get, I hear Minister Katina say this all the time, you know, command the morning. You get out of bed, command the morning. In other words, let me say this, start your day with faith. Many people like to start with coffee. Command the morning, start your day with faith. Bring everything unto the subject of God's word. Study has shown that the first 10 minutes of your day sets the tone. So when you get out of bed, it ain't coming my way. Not that foolishness was what I'm speaking of. But what you need to say, God, I'm ready to receive your blessings this morning. God, I'm ready for my deliverance this day, because this is a day that I haven't seen before. I seen yesterday, but today is a new day. God has brand new mercies every day. You got to command it. You got to believe it. Don't let people say to you, well, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I ain't feeling, no, I don't know. There ain't no wrong side of my bed. I ain't seen no label that says this is the wrong side of the bed. Don't get up on this side. Get up on the other side. No, when I get up out the bed, I'm going to command when my feet hit the ground, the floor. Attitude. I mean, come on, man. You got to get an attitude. When I was playing ball, I wasn't the biggest guy, but I had an attitude. You wasn't going to strike me out. You can believe that. And if you did get me, the next time I come around, I'm going to get you. Attitude. What coach don't like that? What about our Savior who says, I need you to get an attitude? I don't like that down there. God is saying, I don't like that. So you need to get an attitude. I say, I don't like it either. Start your day with faith. In Mark chapter 1, let me say this. Peter and Andrew, you all remember them. They went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, talking about Jesus. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had come out, listen to this, they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And they immediately his fame spread throughout all the region in Galilee. Now, 29th verse in Mark chapter 1. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife, mother, lay sick. I'm going somewhere with this. Just bear with me. With the fever. And they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. And she served them. So listen to this. Immediately after church, Jesus preaching. Okay. After church, Jesus, his disciples, including James and John, left the church and went straight to Peter's and Andrew's house. Can you imagine taking Jesus home with you after church? A lot of us like that part about being in the spirit on the Lord's day. Am I right? We like to say that. I'm in the spirit on the Lord's day, in the Lord's house. But at the benediction time, too often,
it's later, Jesus, and we go home. Catch you next Sunday. I'll be back. That's the way we are. This passage suggests something new for some of us to try. Take Jesus home with you after church. Take him home with you. Peter and Andrew took the Lord home, and what they experienced was an unexpected blessing. Peter had a wife. After all, you can't have a mother-in-law unless you have a wife. Amen. Peter had a good thing, and the Lord was the center of his life. But let me say this. Let me back up. So you take the Lord home with you. Would you have to straighten up your house? Let me pause there for a moment, because some of you all are thinking a different way. I'm thinking another way. And y'all may think, okay, my house is dirty. I need to clean it up. I got laundry that I ain't folded and got dishes in the sink. And I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about some of that stuff you got hidden in the house that you don't want nobody to see. Some of us got stuff hidden in the bedrooms and stuff. So when people come over and they go through your pantry, they won't be shocked with it when they see it. Or we got stuff hidden in the rooms, in some pockets. Will we have to clean that up? Or can the Lord just come in? Peter had a good thing. He brought the Lord home with him. He took the Lord home and experienced an unexpected blessing. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. She had to have been sick when they left to go to church. But what I like about it is that they didn't stay home. They went to church anyway. Amen. Went to church anyway. Y'all ever seen folks say they, you know, let me just use this for a moment while it's on my heart. Y'all ever seen when things happen in the church, people who don't have no medical experience be the one that's standing over them just like this. You know what I'm saying? They standing over and trying to help. Ain't got no medical experience or nothing. And don't realize the person need air and you sitting up there standing over them. Don't know CPR, but this person need air. And you blocking the oxygen from getting to them. Don't know. But what I'm saying is, here's what I'm saying. There's nothing that you can do for them. Y'all follow me? There's nothing you can do for them. Really, what you need to do is move out of the way and let somebody who has the experience, a licensed professional, at least get them stabilized or see what the situation is. And it mainly could just mean you just need to move out of the way and let them breathe. But my point is, there was really nothing that Peter and them could do for this lady. She had to, I mean, it got worse. So what I'm saying is, a lot of times it start off small, but then it just kind of elevate itself. But then, after church, they were going home. If anything, the home situation had gotten worse. Sometimes we hate to go home because we know that what's waiting on us at home, the situation that we left, is still there. The Lord can do anything, anywhere. When the churchgoers got home, Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. Somebody told Jesus about the situation. And that's one thing we need to do, is tell the Lord about the situation. When they took Jesus home and somebody told him about the situation, he went straight to Peter's mother-in-law, touched her, took her by the hand and helped her up. See, what I'm basically saying is, all it needs is one touch from the Lord. Everything will be all right. Now, the passage says that at least two things that I want to impress upon you. First, it says the Lord works in our own house just like he works in the church house. The Lord is a healer here. He can be a healer in your home. So wherever he is a healer. If you meet the Lord here and you meet the Lord there, he's still the same God. Nothing has changed about him. The Bible does not say what the ailment was that had Peter's mother-in-law down so bad. It doesn't say what the condition was that gave her a fever. But I'm glad it doesn't, because it really doesn't matter exactly what took place and what transpired. All that really matters is that Jesus relieved her of the suffering. We need to understand today that Jesus can relieve you of your suffering. Expect God to do the unexpected in your life. We got to know that for ourselves. It's one thing to stand before you and preach a message every Sunday, and you shout and be glad and say, oh, the preacher showed it, preach this Sunday. But let me tell you something. You got to get it down in your own soul, get it down in your heart, and know that God can do whatever it is that you need him to do in your life. You got to know that. Unexpected. Sometimes we are expecting things to go a certain way in our lives. We deal with relationships. We expect to. I remember my mom said when she graduated from high school, you know, the girls just expected to be a homemaker. In other words, just stay at home and let the husband go out and work and bring home the money. But her grandmother said, her mother said, that's not what you're going to do. You're not going to do that. In other words, what I'm saying, it's a routine. Because we see everybody else doing, we expect to do it the same way. We have to understand that things don't always go the same way. We don't know how we're going to meet that significant other that God has for us. You understand that? Sometimes we need to understand this, that that person that you're looking for could be right underneath your nose. You're not, because we don't look at things the way God sees things, we see things the way we want to see them, so therefore we miss it. Listen to this. I've been knowing my wife for 20-some years. In November, we'll be married for 6. Never been in a relationship. But think about it. Knowing her for 20-some years, never been in a relationship. You understand me? In other words, we used to be at church together years ago. We fellowship together, worship together. Didn't know that this was going to be my wife. Didn't know what the future had for me. So what I'm trying to get you to understand, you don't know how God is going to do this thing in your life. You don't know how God is going to bless you. Some of us are passing up and looking over our blessings every day. Why? Because we don't believe it's going to happen that way. What if my wife had the attitude that says that I don't want a short man? What if she had that attitude? Because she is taller than me. What if she said, I don't want no short man. I want somebody that's taller than me. She wouldn't have received somebody as fine as I am. She wouldn't have received. Y'all know what I'm talking about. She wouldn't have received a good man. You follow what I'm saying? Because prior to her coming together, she tried to get married to someone else. Twice. Your rejection is for your protection. You follow me? Your rejection was for your protection. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is that we don't know how God is going to do it. We're sitting there looking over our blessings. As Brother Bob Day said, he said, how in the world can the Lord get a woman to marry a man with 4 kids? That's God. He said, how? I said, how in the world? He said, I got 4 kids. And I'm asking this woman to marry me with 4 kids. He said, that's God. You don't know. Unexpected. He wasn't really expecting her to say yes. But that unexpected blessing, she said yes. You see what I'm saying? We need to understand that we don't know how God is going to do it. You could be walking one day and all of a sudden, come on, look at Ruth now. She out doing a job, and all of a sudden God blesses her. Just doing her normal routine. You don't know how God is going to do it. God could have somebody that is looking at you right now. But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I tease my wife about this a lot, but it's all in love. It was always prophesied to me, said, Lord is working on her. You gotta be patient. I was saying to myself, well, what's she doing? Give me some insight. I said, Lord, you're working on what's she doing? But I will say this on my part. Is that it was prophesied to me, said, if you go to the skating rink, you're going to see your wife. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the skating rink. I'm going to go, you know. And then so I was like, need a favor. Need you to go with me, get Sydney, you know, and, you know, take a skating. I don't want to just pop up at a skating rink by myself. You know, people know you're looking for something. You know, you ain't how you do that. So I was like, you know, when Sydney was like young, I said, let's go skating, you know, get Sydney together. You know, push y'all out there, you know, let's go skating. You know, take the little girl out somewhere, do something with her. You know, that's a true story now, true story. I fought Nissa. She never did come to me, and she never did fulfill that. So never did make it up there. Needless to say, my wife said, I was at the skating rink. So it's your fault that it took so long. True story. True story. But see, what I'm saying is you all don't understand something. Unexpected blessings. You don't know how God is going to do it. When I started out my business career, for job, I wanted to be an X-ray tech, wanted to do physical therapy, but I'm in the insurance business. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I was in a hospital working in X-ray, wanted to be physical therapy, but check this out. Listen to this. I'm in the insurance business. Unexpected blessing that came my way. We don't know how things are going to happen. We don't know what things are going to turn out. We're sitting back and knowing God's got this blessing sitting right here in front of us, but we don't see it because we're looking at something totally different. It's not the way we see it. It's not the way we view it. So we figured, oh, that ain't for me. That ain't for me. But we serve a God that can do anything. God can heal your situation. God can bring life to your dead situation. One thing I know about God, you know, is my family taught me about the Lord. And one thing I like how they constantly worship him no matter what. And I know that when things got bad, they continued to praise God anyhow. And I know that they got sick along the way, but I noticed that they continue to praise God. So I learned that even if you're sick, Jesus can make you well. Even if you're dying, Jesus can make your dying bed. If you're depressed, Jesus can get you up. If you're down, Jesus can pick you up. If you're falling, Jesus can hold you up. If you're in sin, Jesus can fix you up. Tempted and tried, Jesus can give you the victory. When you're weak and defeated, his grace is still sufficient. Stained from sin, his blood can still wash you, make you whole again, make you clean. He still saves from the gutter to the uttermost. He's still a good God all the time. God is a healer and a savior. It doesn't make no difference of what your situation is. If Jesus touches you, he'll bless you. He'll reach out. You need to reach back. God is a deliverer. He can deliver you from your situation. You got to know that today for yourself. But you need to know this. Unexpected blessings can come your way at any moment, at any time. God can do the unexpected exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ever ask for. We serve a mighty God who is awesome, who is great. I am. God said, fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks. I like to say that, you know, when I was growing up, I said that my mother taught me how to wash. And I'm thankful for that. But as I grew up and got married, and I was trying to wash again, and I had a stain on my shirt. And let me say this to you. Sometimes we try to do the same thing and get a different result. You can't do the same thing and get a different result. Sometimes you got to do something different and get a different result from what you just did. My wife saw that I had the stain on it. She said, well, put some shout on it. So I said, okay, I never done a shout before, but I know how to wash. So she said, put some shout on it. So I went and I sprayed some shout on it. And I looked at it, and I have to say it again. And I looked at it, and I put it in there. Put it in the washer. And y'all know sometimes the washer get the rumbling. See, y'all think it's just off balance. But in the spiritual realm, there's a fight going on between the shout and the stain that's trying to stay on your shirt. But the shout is saying, I'm going to shout it out. The stain is saying, I want to stay here. But the shout said, no, I'm going to shout you out. Because once I learned about the shout, it cleans. It penetrates. And then it lifts. So you have to understand this. The rumbling that's going on, it is just a fight between the situation and the circumstances that wants to stay the same. But the shout is shouting it out. That's what you're hearing. You're hearing the shout in the washer. The shout is trying to overtake the stuff that is on your shirt. But I'm going to tell you something. When I pulled the shirt out, I looked. And I wanted to see who won the fight. I didn't see the stain on there no more. The stain had left. I looked in the washer. Want to know where it went? It went out into the holes. Out of my house. Because that's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. But what I do know is that the shout was still shouting. Because the shout blessed me. Now I can walk around. You know how folks tell you got something on you? They ready to tell you you got a stain on you. They ready to tell you you got a problem. I see your problem. They ready to tell you, but they ain't trying to help you. But I'm glad that my mama taught me how to wash. But my wife taught me how to shout. I remember my son, you know, he's kind of, you know, a little clumsy, you know, just a little. He has, you know, and you know, we picked some Kool-Aid, and my son wanted some Kool-Aid, so, you know, it's the red kind, you know, that's the good kind, you know, and so he wanted to sit at the bar. So all of a sudden, my son climbed up on the bar stool, and he spilled some Kool-Aid on the floor. He said, sorry, Daddy. It's, oh my God, but I looked, but I said, that's okay. You know what I did? I ran and got the shout. What I did, I went and I put some shout on it. I said, this is a job for a shout. I said, shout or get it out. Sometimes you got to do something different. You can't do stuff the same way you always done it. Sometimes you gotta open up your mouth and you gotta shout. You gotta shout it out. If you want to remove your situation, you got to shout it out. If you want it to change, you got to shout. If you want it to change, you got to shout. You got to bring your shout with you. You got to take it everywhere you go. I don't care if it's on your job. I don't care if it's in church. I don't care if it's in the community or if you're in your car. You need to shout. You need to say, I brought my shout with me. Let me say this. Many of you have been over to my house. You don't see no red Kool-Aid stain on the floor, don't you? That's because the shout won that battle too. You better realize in your life that you got to shout some things out. I'm glad that my wife introduced me to shout. I'm glad my family taught me about the Lord. But the Holy Spirit taught me how to shout. Taught me how to open up my mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes you got to do this. You gotta look ugly with it. You got to look ugly with it. You got to let it know I ain't playing with you. I ain't messing around with you. Y'all know how it is when you got ready to fight. You took everything off. And you looked at him and you got ugly with him. You was like, I ain't playing with you. You got to tell your situation, I ain't playing with you. It ain't finna happen no more. It's over today. Some of y'all need to have a eulogy for your situation today. Y'all need to say, this is the day it died. And it is resting right here. Y'all need to say, it's over. I didn't have to use it. I didn't bury it. Sometimes you got to get ugly with it. Some of y'all are smiling and playing with it too much. You keep playing with it, it's going to overtake you. But when you get ugly with it, let it know you ain't playing with it today. Tired of this situation. Tired of this. I'm expecting God to do it today. I'm expecting the unexpected. I'm expecting God to deliver me. I'm expecting God to do what he had never done before, and that's blessed me with this situation. Like I said, today is a new day. You haven't seen this day before. None of us seen this day before. But this is a new day. It could be a new start for you in your life. You need to learn to put some shout on it. Amen.